Our chairman is in another meeting, and we're really going places like home one of these days, and so there's no need sitting around here. Whatever we're going to do, we just will get at it.
I like that way of talking.
So, Dan, would you...
Mr. Chairman, 2259 is on the agenda today, and this, if you'll recall, is the bill designed to solve the problem created by ballot measure 3. That is that the Constitution was amended to dedicate certain revenues to the Common School Fund. This bill is designed to eliminate, to the extent that it's possible to do so, that particular risk. The other day, there were a couple of concerns that were addressed. One of them was raised by Senator Potts relative to the director of the Department of Energy establishing a minimum fee. And that's shown over on page 3 of this Hannon-Gross bill. And down in lines 28 through lines 36, the old language was it established a fee, but then it gave the director the discretion to set a lower fee if he decided that it was necessary to do so. It was pointed out that this may cause him some problems in dealing with persons wanting exemptions to the $15,000 limit. What these amendments do is set a fixed amount for the application for the person coming through the front door, and then for the ongoing regulation, that in effect is established by the legislature and the department's budget. I think that addresses Senator Potts' concern. Okay. It gets it out of the realm of having the director to make unilateral decisions. Then the paperwork concern that was pointed out by Sid Bassett for the propane dealers, that's addressed on page 4 of the bill, down in about line 24. The director of the Department of Energy won't collect an assessment if it's less than $250, and that's basically the break-even point for these things. And if you're interested, that will exempt just a handful of people, or companies, I should say. There are 5 of them. 2 of them are electricity suppliers. One of them is Clearwater, wherever that is. They're currently being assessed at the rate of $56. The other one is Columbia Rural. They're being assessed at the rate of $56. The petroleum dealers are Caribou Four Corners, $40, Colvin Oil, $120, Husky, $120, and PRI Northwest, $120. All told, it's looks to be about $500 fiscal impact, and the department can live with that. Those are the two major amendments in the bill.
This would be $250 each, though, isn't it?
Yes, $250 each, just per
person.
Yeah, so you're not really disrupting the equity question that was pointed up at the last session. In other words, letting everybody participate in the cost of the Department of Energy rather than the larger suppliers. But I think you are addressing the concern of one of the members of the lobby who I thought made a valid point relative to the cost-benefit of collecting smaller amounts of money. The rest of the bill virtually is intact.
Then a question then on page 5. There's some new language there which takes out propane and refers to natural gas. All right, it doesn't take out propane.
Well, no, that's a redefinition that was suggested by legislative council, the people that drafted this thing. It's just a cleaner way of defining what an energy resource supplier is.
Okay.
It's not new to what you saw the other day. It's a different way of expressing that. Now, the other thing that ought to be pointed out to you, again, I think I mentioned this to you the other day, but there are risks associated with this bill. The Department of Energy's assessment in the budget that was adopted by the legislature is $2.7 million. That may be contrary to the constitutional provision that we mentioned earlier. The Attorney General thinks that it is not, but he has serious doubts. That's really the reason for this bill. It attempts to react to a potential problem and to minimize the risk associated with those assessments. If everything worked well, someone would challenge this bill almost immediately, and the Supreme Court would agree with the Attorney General. Be all over with, at least for the time being, I suspect. And we could breathe a sigh of relief and everything would go on fine. That may or may not happen. If it does not, you run the risk at some stage down the line, and although the bill is limited to 60 days, I think, according to legislative counsel, someone could challenge this at any time. Courts could rule contrary to the way that we hope, and at that stage you'd have some severe financial problems on your hands. In addition to that risk, how you make the assessment, be it BTUs or gross operating revenues, legislative counsel has also indicated to us that the method by which this bill gets at the problem, in other words, do this, if the court doesn't agree with that, try this. That approach may be constitutional. And they cite an old case, Portland versus Coffee, in 1913. And that, there are some similarities. What that case did was it suggested a method of registering voters. You do it this way. If the court say you can't do it this way, you fall back and you try this. And the court ruled way back then that that was not constitutional, that approach to legislation. I was concerned about that, and I followed it up with legislative counsel. I said, hey, are we creating a worse problem by this engineering this approach than what we have now? They didn't think so. They suggested that we really don't have an alternative but to attempt to satisfy the problem. But their estimate of the risk on a scale of 1 to 10 was about 4. So just want to make certain that you understand that this isn't a foolproof scheme. But again, at least as far as I can determine, I think it's the best approach that we can engineer, given all the uncertainty associated with the problem.
Would you tell me what is the constitutional question?
Well, there's a couple of them. The one that I just talked about was a different one than is addressed in this bill. And this is the note that I got from counsel. They say that designing legislation that says do this, if the court says that you can't do that, try this, that may be unconstitutional. That's one issue.
I guess I missed that part in here. Okay.
Well, that's not in the bill. That's an extraneous contribution by legislative counsel. What the bill is directed to is the constitutional amendment that was enacted by the voters about Measure 3 that says if you levy an excise on the sale, use, measure, etc. of certain resources, that is dedicated to the common school fund. Lynn Frank relies on an energy supplier assessment on electricity, petroleum, and natural gas. It's the latter two that we're worried about.
I see. Okay. I was thinking of the dedication to the highway fund, and that's exempt.
No, that's a whole different deal.
Yes, that's exempt.
Right. It doesn't tax those uses.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I understand that.
I may have thrown in that might be a red herring, I don't know, but it's something that you ought to be aware of, just so you know down the line that there are some risks associated with this. But there's also more risks, I think, if you don't enact the legislation.
Yeah, it seems to me that this could be defended on the ground that this is not in effect to raise revenue for the general fund. It's merely a fund used to regulate the industry, just as the land board can use some of its resources, I presume, to administer the state land. It doesn't have to all go into the, it's the residue.
Some of it's to regulate the industry. Some of it's to operate energy conservation programs and all.
Well, this could be argued that this is all part of the.
Now, Dan, you were referring to the bill that passed last year, dedicating the fund from natural gas and petroleum to the common fuel fund.
Well, it was a referendum, I believe, that came out, and the people voted on it and approved it.
Right, but it is Alberta, yeah. Then, these are still taxes, and that, you know, it's a little hard for me to understand how you're going to get around that. For those things that come under that 1977 bill. Now, I guess that's what you've been talking about.
79 bill.
Or 79 bill, I mean.
Well, as I say, the Attorney General has, Brown, when he was the Attorney General, opined that, you've got a problem. The Frohnmeyer has looked at it, and he said, no, we think that clearly the legislature did not have these assessments in mind when it referred that measure to the people.
What?
But he's got a whole bunch of doubts.
And what assessments did they have in mind then?
Don't know. I haven't read the opinion that carefully. But,
I think profits from the sale of natural gas.
What he said is that what he believes the constitutional dedication applies to are those resources that are generated from within the state of Oregon. Most of our petroleum products are imported. That's the loophole that he's looking at. But he's, I think he clearly points out there's a bunch of risks.
I think Lynn is getting kind of nervous there. He's moved up a little closer to the front. I take it that you would like to make a comment or two.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just to help Dan out on the issue, the measure that was passed by the legislature referred to the voters and then adopted, at least we had understood as it went through the session, and apparently from discussing with some members, they had understood as well that it was intended to be a severance tax bill, that if in fact we discovered all kinds of gas and oil in this state, that we'd establish some kind of severance tax, dedicate that to the common school fund, put a limitation on the severance tax. Well, our program is clearly not a severance tax, but because of some questions about the drafting of that, just the wording that they had in there, they said there's a possibility that it could be construed to apply to our program as well. But the understanding had been, as it went all the way through, that that was intended to be a constitutional amendment dedicating any severance tax which may be imposed in the future on oil or gas extracted from the site would be dedicated to the common school fund. And it was just because of some question in the wording that there's a possibility that there could be an issue here.
In other words, then
a good possibility, probably.
Yeah, and then the other would be to limit it to other sources of energy not included in those two. Which would
that'd be electricity.
Electricity. Or would imported petroleum come under it?
Yeah, but hopefully that's what we're.
Well, but it wouldn't eliminate that because that bill only refers to natural gas and petroleum that's developed. In the
well, that's state. What the Attorney General thinks it applies to. He may be right. If he's right, we don't have a problem. If he's wrong, we've got big trouble, I think big trouble. And that's what this bill is intended to avoid, to the extent that it's avoidable. And the point I want to make is that it's no matter what you do, you can't completely eliminate the problem. But I think this gets us as close as it's possible to do so.
Is this a high priority on the governor's? I see he introduced or had the bill introduced at his request.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it is. As Dan pointed out, there is a question here about what could be done to continue the department's basic activities, and we've considered all the options and understand, as Dan has outlined, what the possible risks are, but we would agree with him that having considered all the possible choices, this is about the best possible approach we can put together to try and address the problem.
Mr. Chairman, it isn't a problem just for the executive side and the Department of Energy, I think it's a problem for the legislature as well. You put out a budget, and energy has been a fairly popular topic lately. If everything went very sour, you'd be forced, or you'd be faced with a real problem. You've got a big agency sitting over there, and I don't think it's practical to assume that you could abolish the agency. So you've got a problem. It's not just the governor that's got a problem, I think. What this bill is intended to do is to avoid the expenditure of the possibility of having to expend general fund money at the bail-in agency out. So I think the legislature has some stake in it as well.
Any other comments? Senator Potts?
I don't know how to comment on it. I think we have to do something. But I don't know if this, when there's doubts on both directions, it kind of leaves me in a doubting position again. I don't know what to say on it. I think if we were to protect what we did, we have to do something. But when one attorney general gives one thing and then you look at something else, you wonder.
Well, and that's really, that's the reason for the bill.
That's right.
It's a little shaky. This firms it up considerably, and I think it leaves the state in a much better position. It leaves the state in the best position, I think, that you can get to at this stage without knowing what the courts are going to do.
Senator Roberts, do you have any further comments?
No, I think that this is the only course of action we can take. We know that there's some risk involved, but we don't have any alternative, and if we win the gamble, we're fine. If we don't, then we're going to have to find out some other way to finance it, which will be involve something that probably the emergency board can deal with it, because it's the intention to fund it, and that would be an emergency, and I think the emergency board could deal with it on an interim basis if we needed to before we found some constitutional, if they declared that unconstitutional, they'd find out some other way of financing it.
Well, this be some other way then to finance the energy department.
That's what I mean. It's either got to come out of the general fund, or we have to abolish the energy department, or we have to find some other kinds of fees.
Or assess the users. Or what good they think the energy department is doing the general consuming public.
Or more precisely, what good we think it's doing them.
Any other comments, Lynn?
No, sir.
I guess no need fishing around for somebody to suggest some other way to do this. It's just going to be up to us to make a decision. And
we're going to have to do it one way or the other.
Yeah. And I just got a note that Representative Lindquist will be a little longer now. If he's doing something worthwhile up there to get us out of this place in a couple of weeks, I think we can put up with him being gone.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I suggest you check with him on this. What?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to send it out.
No.
But anybody else have anything? John, do you have anything more to add? In addition to,
I don't think so, Mr. Chairman. I think I just agree with what Dan has said and what Lynn and Senator Roberts and Senator Potts have said. I don't have to think of this great risk, but provided for.
Oh, here he is.
Apologize to committee.
Mr. Chairman, we're just about ready to adjourn. We've come to do you call it an impasse, or is that something such a word as that, or what to do about this? Because Dan's been explaining to us the constitutional problems that could be involved. We're down to that, and I've asked the audience out there to comment, and a couple of them have, and the rest of them have refused, more or less, so it's up to you to decide what to do.
I see. Well, that's not as bad as the ones I've been working on, so.
You think there is a serious constitutional problem?
No. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to make sure that everyone understood. Yeah. And I don't want to overemphasize the risk, but I want to make sure that they understand what the risks are.
Okay.
that there are some there. If you recall, this is the nephew of Safety Net, I guess. And the amendments that were drafted took into account the concern of Senator Potts relative to having the director of the department faced with the problem of setting fees. And then the other one would, the other amendment exempts those individuals whose assessment would be less than $250. In other words, that was the break-even point, or the approximate break-even point for the department. Once it falls below $250, there's not much reason to go ahead and collect it. That would exempt currently about six suppliers, and the amount is somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 to $600. And I think that addressed the problem that was being pointed to you the other day with the propane people.
We have that in the word that
it's in here.
Everybody,
the rest of it is that belt and suspenders program that's associated with
With the propane people assessments. Satisfied with the amendment they worked on it?
I think so, yeah.
Apparently they are.
And Sid Bazett wanted me to mention to the committee that when he was testifying, you know, he clearly simply wasn't aware that some of the propane dealers are being assessed. The people that he was talking about apparently not bothered by the assessment. He wasn't misrepresenting the facts. He was just unaware of certain facts. Mm-hmm.
So you still want the bill, huh?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you're kind of teasing about it?
Yeah, it's kind of something that you get scared.
Back on?
You didn't want it.
The governor still supports it, I guess.
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go again. Well, what's the committee's pleasure?
I would move it on.
Senator Roberts moves House Bill 2259A engrossed as amended to the full committee with a due pass. Is there any discussion?
Probably no vote, so.
I want to.
You won't hold it off?
I won't discuss it.
Who's going to carry it on the floor?
Chairman.
I see. Now I'm getting the drift here.
Okay. Is there any no discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion?
No.
Passes. Sorry to hold you up. Speaker will let me go for a minute.
Oh, it was working all the time you were gone.
I think it was true.
We had something else on tip.
What we didn't tell it was that we really settled it all.
You did.
And so we just let you be here to see the final action.
I see. You had it all worked out.
About the fire engine fuel. I guess it's understood in the motion that we removed that the other day anyway, by the action, didn't we? From Section 5 and 13 or whatever.
Yes. That was already taken out.
That's legally taken care of.
That's good. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that too.
Yeah, that's out.
Is that all we had up? That's it. Okay. We're adjourned.